Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
What's up, guys? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. Thank you for another episode. Well, we're starting the interview series back up. And there's a very controversial person that I've been talking to for a while. Like, we've been planning this interview for a while, but you know how NDAs and contracts and things like that can be. So finally, Kyle Gordy is here. So I want to welcome Kyle Gordy to the show. I want to see if we can start talking about all of these different topics that have come up since you decided to be on season 4 of Love in Paradise. And did you think that it was going to cause such a stir? Because your name has, while you were on that show and after you were on the show, was the most talked about name in the 90 Day universe. And then on top of that, you were all over Netflix too. Were you surprised?
Yeah. So like I said, just for people that don't know me, I'm Kyle Gordy from season 4 of Love in Paradise. Kyle Gordy 1234 on Instagram. Just a little background. I'm a sperm donor, freelance. I meet up people and get them pregnant. I have over 80 kids currently. But getting into the controversy, yeah. So I was on the show, and I kind of knew there would be a lot of controversy. Obviously, come on, people, TLC, I mean, they're getting me for a reason. Like, they're not just getting people that are, like, boring and whatever. They need something that's controversial. So I knew that I'd be very controversial. And that's what happened. And I've been actually on media for the past 10 years now. So it's like, I've been on a lot of controversial shows. Like, I'm honestly, not to brag, I'm probably the most famous person, not to brag, like I said, the most famous person to ever go on the show based on my media. Because I've been in like every single media, Dr. Phil. I was just on Netflix, and that documentary was the number one documentary in the world. And had over 20 million views for the 3 episodes, plus lots of publicity. So that was actually probably bigger than my 90 Day Fiance thing. And I was only on it like 6 minutes. And then, I've been on The Doctors. I've been on like pretty much every single media. So I've probably been the most known person or had the most media out of any person that's ever been on the show. So it's been very, like, I think I started doing media in 2014. So I've been doing media now for about 10 years already. And it's been...
So wait, you've been a sperm donor for over 10 years now.
Yeah, I started in February 2014. I donated to somebody. They were like somebody I knew. They wanted a child, but they wanted to know the father of the child. So they came over with their wife, and I went to my room, jerked off. I brought the sperm back to the car, and she injected it in the backseat of her car with her wife. So they got pregnant on the first time, and now they have that child just turned 10 on November 1st. And then they have another child that I believe is 7 now. So they have 2 children by me.
They have 2. So went back. So they had the first child and then they decided to grow their family. They went back to you to have another child. This is interesting. So before they approached you, what did it ever cross your mind that you wanted to do this? Or was this event what triggered in your mind that you enjoyed or you wanted to do this as like a profession?
Well, it's not a profession. I don't get paid. It's a hobby. So I don't get paid anything at all.
So this is a complete hobby. You don't make any money. This is just something that you enjoy doing for other people. So when you did this for them, did they put the idea in your head or was this something that you were already thinking about but you hadn't acted on yet?
It was like something I thought about. So the reason what triggered it was I was originally dating and planning on, starting my own family the traditional way, but dating didn't really work out for me. As you can see on the show, if anyone watched it, dating just didn't really work out for me. I couldn't find a match. Like I originally wanted to find a girlfriend, have kids with, settle down. And I felt like I was getting older. So it was in my mind already. I was like, oh, well, maybe I should donate sperm. I looked at clinics. They looked very cold and clinical. So I didn't want to really go down that route, at least at that time. So I knew this lesbian couple, and they want to have a child, and we pretty much did that. And they liked the idea that the child's able to meet me whenever. And actually, I did actually meet that child when he was 2.5. So they're happy, healthy, and now I have over 80 kids. I'll probably be doing an article to update that in January. So look out in January. You'll probably be seeing a very big news article on this update. There's going to be a huge update in January probably. I don't want to say everything, but I think it's going to be January or February.
Yeah, so in January, and we're hoping the number is going up. So I think 100, you said, was your goal when you were on the show. You wanted to have 100 kids, right? That's not the end goal, but that's
the mile. Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I think what I said was there's not really a goal. It's more like not my goal. It's when women don't need me anymore. On the show, I don't think I ever said a number. You know, we didn't actually go into a lot of stuff on the show. I know we brought up the map and I said where I have kids, but I didn't have any of my kids on the show. And originally I thought I was going to have some of my, like one of my kids on the show or some of my mom's, like in my mind, but I wasn't in America and most of my kids are in America that were willing to go on. Like some of my mom spoke to Sharp, right? The people. And I thought we were going to have like some, like 102 of my kids go on and they're going to speak to my mom, but it just didn't work out that way. And I was traveling. I haven't been back to America in like over a year and a half since I've been back to the US. So it was kind of hard to arrange it.
So of all the kids, like his 80 plus kids, do you see any of them regularly, like on a regular basis? Or do you at least still talk to the mothers on a regular basis? Or is it like a, I did this for you and you have my number if you need me, but we don't have an ongoing relationship? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, no, I don't have any that I see regularly, but I met 15 of my kids and I talked to like a lot of the moms, like all the time. Like there's some moms I talk to every week, some every month, some a couple times a year. Some want me to meet the children and be involved. I guess what you would call me is a known donor plus. And that's kind of just the term is like, I just have, and it's actually healthier for the child because if you go to sperm bank and they don't have the option of meeting their father, that actually psychologically affects them. If you go to a spank, the statistics are 50% of donor conceived children have suffered from mental health conditions and have to seek therapy because their parents lied to them when they were younger. They would say, oh, you're, this guy is not your biological father, is your real father. Then they take a DNA test and find out later. Now they have to get therapy, they have all these psychological issues. So it's better for the child to have that option. But like I said, if someone says, oh, I don't want you to meet your father, that's fine. But a lot of them are very open and they want the child to meet me one day or want me to be involved, like call me dad and stuff. Like a couple of them call me dad, actually.
Really? That's really interesting because I don't know. I feel like if they don't see you regularly and they call you dad, that can be damaging too, right? Like I feel like, or do they have like a dad that lives with them and then you're like bonus dad? Like how does that even work?
Well, most of them are lesbian couples, but I think I have a better connection with like the single mothers and the kids are still young, so they don't really understand. Like I have one of my favorite moms. She's Canadian. She's half Japanese, half Malaysian. 160 IQ. She does very well. We have the same degree. We both have a degree in accounting, but I believe she has a master's degree. So she's very well, very smart, good looking kid. She's telling me how she wants to get the kid into modeling and stuff. So that's pretty cool. So I have a really good relationship with her. And when I come back to LA in January, I'm just visiting LA. I don't really, by the way, I don't live in LA anymore, but I haven't been there for a while. I'm just visiting. But some of my moms want me to meet the children. So she's like, oh, yeah, let's try to meet up or something. So I'm going to take some daddy-son pictures, family pictures with her. Yeah.
See, that's really interesting because out of all of these moms, there's so many of the moms that are happy, right? Like we've seen online, there's a couple moms or a couple of people where things didn't work the way that they planned. But your success rate, the people who are happy with what happened, is so much higher than the people who aren't. So you clearly are doing something right. You know, you can't please everyone, right? The saying is...
Yeah, it's impossible. It's so, pretty much, I have like, just to come out, like I have like two moms, like one or two moms that, it's not like I did anything wrong, but they both suffered from mental illness. unfortunately, mental illness is a real thing. Like I said, I don't discriminate against anyone, but both of them, coincidentally, the two moms, and this is only two, out of over 80 moms,
right?
Only two I really had an issue with. And one of them was all in love with me. She wanted a relationship with me. I think I sent you these messages, actually. She sent me all these sexual messages and stuff. And she just
this was after the conceiving.
We broke up. After she conceived, she was saying how she wanted to be with me. And then when it didn't work out, she started calling my family members. And I spoke to a lawyer. He said, I thought she was going to come after child support. Pretty much, I'll just say, I thought she was going to sue me for child support. And I was like, I asked a lawyer, can I get a restraining order? Because she contacted my family members. And she was harassing me, contacting my family members. And my brother, they actually contacted him on LinkedIn. And he was pissed because it's like, you know, there's a line that you're crossing when you contact someone's family members without their permission. And he was pissed that he's like, why is this girl contacting me? And so the lawyer said, do you want to open this can of worms? You can go get a restraining order and the judge will grant it more than likely. But do you want to open this can of worms? And that's the only reason I didn't get it. I was like, I wasn't sure the outcome. Because if I got that restraining order, what would she do? What would she do next? Like, I don't know. So I'm just like, okay, maybe she'll just get bored and stop harassing me.
Because, yeah, if you open a restraining order, then she's going to know where you are. She's going to know where to find you. So that's another question that a lot of people are asking about child support. So when you do these, do y'all sign like some sort of agreement that holds you harmless, you know, to coming after child support? Like, how do you do this? Because when you're doing it independently, not through an agency, you're like in charge of all of the paperwork, all the contracts and everything. So how do you handle that? Because obviously when you're having a baby with someone, it's your baby. Do you handle that type of situation?
So there's not really anything for the most part that I can do that can stop them from coming after child support. And that was one reason why I didn't go through at the time, because I didn't want to, even if you don't pay anything at the time, it's still, you have to go to court, you have to deal with it. And so, yeah, the woman could come after me for child support. I had a few women inquire about it. Like one, the other one that I had an issue with UK, she brought up suing me for coming after me as well for child support. But because it's very difficult to do it when you're abroad, it's like very expensive and harder. Like if you're in the US, it's pretty easy to do it, right? But let's say you're abroad and you're not from the same country. Like, they're never going to figure it out. So I'm not too worried. But like I said, she could technically, all these women could technically come after me for child support, and there's nothing I can do about it. And it could be, I think, if you go based on California law, they could take over 65% of your net income. You don't even have to have income, because I know guys that pay child support and they have zero income. It's called imputed. So it's based on your lifestyle. So pretty much, let's say your parents are supporting you and you don't work. They do it based on your lifestyle or something, my friend said. I spoke to a lawyer about this. And there's not really much I can do. Even if I had zero income, technically, the judge could say, well, you know what? I don't care where you're getting money, but if you're not paying rent, or maybe your parents are paying for you something, or your family members, you still need to pay this amount. It's crazy. Child support in America is like very bad for men. It's the worst country in the world, and they'll send you to jail. And so pretty much what they'll do is, and I've known this happen to guys, what they'll do is they'll put you in jail until you pay that child support. That's how bad it is. I've known guys that went to jail for it. That's how bad it is. They'll arrest you and they'll say,
That doesn't deter you, because you're still doing this. So that's not a deterrent for you. Because, oh, wait, I have another question. So of all these women, of 80 plus women, how many of them did you actually have a relationship with versus just being a donor? Because I think a lot of people were wondering that, too, because when you were on the show with Annie, it went from a donor to relationship. So does that happen frequently or less frequently?
I feel like one I kind of had a relationship with, but she was like older too, like maybe one, but like others, like we talked about it, but we didn't actually do a relationship. But no, don't get me wrong. There is a couple of the moms that like I would have a relationship with, probably maybe like two or three I would consider it. But the rest, I wouldn't be like that interested. Like they're like lesbian couples, where they're not my type. But there's like two or three, if they came to me and said they'd be open to it, I'd be open to it. But of course,
you're open to settling down, because we were watching on the show with Annie. You said you were open to settling down, but she couldn't accept your lifestyle, you know, being a donor. And you know, at any given moment, you could go somewhere and be a donor for someone. How does that deter you from a relationship or getting married? Like, have you met women that were totally fine with it, or is it a constant issue?
Yeah, you know, actually from the show, I actually had a few women contact me and that are actually okay with it. I have one I'm talking to right now. I don't know if it'll work out, but we're planning on making a baby. And if we get along, maybe we'll get into a relationship. But she said she's okay with me going out doing this and not changing anything in my life. So, yeah, that would be fun. But, like, I'm open. If anyone's like, oh, okay, well, I'm okay with Kyle and what he does, yeah, I'd be open to talking to anybody. You know, I'm still single, so if anyone is open to it and okay with me continuing, you know, making babies and stuff, so I would
You're still in the same place when you were on Love in Paradise. You're still looking for one woman to settle down with and share your life with. So nothing has changed there. It's still the same.
Nothing has changed. I mean, preferably, it's better if she's like in UK or Australia or America. I don't know about other countries. I'd also consider Japan. I do like Japan. So, I mean, one of those countries. But, you know, if they're in Europe and stuff, you know, I guess Europe's okay too, because, you know, it's not bad. But one of these countries, maybe Brazil. Actually, you know what? Maybe let's add Brazil to that list. So I have a lot of options. And so I'm willing to move for the right woman, but preferably London or Melbourne or Sydney, Australia. If there was a woman there, that's where I'd be more interested in moving. Because these are where I have like a lot of kids, like in Australia, UK, and America. So I feel like I should go where I have the most kids at, you know?
I understand that. So I wanted to ask you, you mentioned your brother. You mentioned that a woman contacted your brother. So family and friends, because obviously you've been all over the TV, you've been in the media, you've been on a syndicated TV show, now a streaming TV show. Everyone knows. So what is the reaction? How does family and friends react to your lifestyle? Is this something that they accept? Is it something that they wish they didn't have to deal with? Like, how does it go? Because, you know, family can go either way.
So that's funny. So when this girl actually contacted my brother, I contacted my other family members and said, give me information. Like, if anyone contacts you, let me know, send me the messages or whatever. And they said, we know the drill. So they were understanding, like, you know, what I go through. I think some people contacted my mom before, like got hold of my mom. Supposedly someone contacted my mom, like a couple of people contacted my mom before, but she doesn't answer and she won't do any interviews. Like, I've had like the New York Times.
For what? Like, are they telling on you? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah. Like saying like, oh God, I don't like Kyle. This is what he's doing. He's making babies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, or like the some media wanted to like pay my mom to do like interviews. And she's like, she actually used to work for the LA Times. My mom, actually, she used to for them. So she's like, oh, no, I don't trust media. They're very bad. I don't want to get involved in your stuff. But no, when I first started doing this, I've actually told my entire family knew. My twin brother, I have a twin brother, if people didn't know, he's actually my biggest fan about what I do. And my dad, and this is funny, so he said I can get people pregnant as long as they're good looking. That's what he said. He said, that's what he said. You know, it's funny.
Well, you can't discriminate, Dad. I mean,
I don't discriminate.
Everyone deserves. It's nice if they are, but also it's no discrimination.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, I don't discriminate. Yeah. That would be narcissist. Now, I think a lot of people say I'm a narcissist. Now, that's narcissistic. I think if I was to say I'm only going to give my sperm to good-looking, attractive women, I think that's super narcissist.
Is it though? Because isn't that how most normal relationships are? Most normal people date for looks, and they date for certain things. So technically, aren't most people narcissists? Because there are people who will only date a blonde. There are people who will only date a brunette. They'll only date a girl if she weighs a certain amount. So isn't that all a form of narcissism? Because it's all a form of discrimination, if you want to be real, right? It's all a form of discrimination.
Well, to me, is I'm not actually like taking care of the kids. Of course, if I was like to be with a girl and like whatever, yeah, of course, I want to be attracted to her. I want to be into her. But I look at it this way, like I'm not actually taking care of the kids. So why am I going to discriminate against this woman? It's like, is this woman because she's like has a BMI of like 27. Should she not have a child, you know? So it's kind of like, it's kind of stupid. So I'm just like, you know, give them a child. It's not a big deal. You know, I think the biggest deal to me is whether or not they're going to harm the child. Obviously, if I feel like they're going to harm the child in any way, I think that's like, obviously, I'm not going to do that. But if I feel like, you know, the kid's going to be, you know, taken care of decently.
So there's like a screening process. So when you meet a woman, are you, do you like interview her kind of to make sure that this is a safe space for a baby? Like, or like, how do you go about that? Better question. Have you met someone and you met them and then you decided you didn't feel comfortable giving them a baby? Has that ever happened?
I don't know if I've ever met someone. I think some people have stole my sperm and gave it to someone without my consent before, like fertility fraud. It's called fertility fraud, where they take your sperm. I don't have absolute proof of this, but I'm pretty sure like two or three times I met someone. And well, one time I met someone, right? And they said they were giving the sperm to their partner. And I'm 90% sure she took the sperm and did it herself. So I was like, hey, can I meet your partner? I just want to make sure everything's good. And she's like, she kept making excuses. I'm like, okay. And then there's like another two times where there was some weird excuse why I couldn't meet the partner. I'm like, oh, this person's probably not giving it to the person that I gave consent to. I mean, it's called fertility fraud. I mean, technically, it's like reverse fertility fraud, because usually it's when doctors use their own sperm to impregnate the patients. In this case, it's the woman taking the guy's sperm and impregnating someone without their consent. I don't know if it's necessarily a crime. I mean, maybe it could be, like, they could get charged with it. I don't know, because you're taking your bodily fluid and giving it to someone without your consent.
They're taking your DNA and giving it to someone without your consent. You know, people, sex is done with consent. Paternity is done with consent. In vitro is done with consent. That would be a little scary for me, because that could mean that there's a child out there that you can't locate. And like, say for instance, they do an ancestry DNA, maybe they could locate you, but you can't locate them.
Yeah, that's the great thing. I have my DNA online, so anyone that gets a DNA test, I'm easy to find, even if they don't stay in contact. But the majority of moms stay in contact with me, some shape or form. But, you know, obviously the ones where they just cut me off completely. The kids, when they're like 10, 12, 13, they can do a DNA test and find me or whatever. So it's I'm very easy to find. Plus I'm on media. Maybe they see me on TV, like, wait, who's this guy? Is this my dad? And then they'll reach out and ask. So that's another reason why I like doing the media, because it makes it easier for the kids to find me if the parents decide to not give the children the information. They have the choice. And one day if they see me, to be like, well, is this guy my dad? And if they want to reach out, I'm happy to talk. And, you know, I'm thinking about doing in about 10 years, I'm going to do Father's Day parties where we do like meet up with all the kids. Like maybe like every Father's Day, we have like a Father's Day barbecue with all the kids. So that's going to be fun. So, you know, I have like all these ideas what I'm going to do in like 10, 20 years with all the kids and get together, do like a football team and verse each other or something. So it's going to be really fun.
That's interesting. Interesting. So all these different moms. And so what do you got going on right now? Do you have anything on the schedule for a baby right now? Or I know you're going to make some announcements next month. Don't give me any of that.
Yeah.
But like in the last, because we haven't seen you on TV in like a year. Right. So what's been going on that you should bring
months.
Up to?
I was on TV. So obviously right before I called you, I had a girl that wanted me to go give her sperm, but it was kind of late. So I didn't want to go out there. So I do have quite a few women that want my sperm still. I mean, I think one thing we talked about was people were like, oh, God, Kyle's on 90 Day Fiancé. No one's going to want to get pregnant by him. But it had the opposite effect, because there's millions and millions of people that probably saw me on 90 Day Fiancé. Obviously, the vast majority of people aren't going to like me. But in reality, what do people look for in someone to get pregnant? They look for someone who's reasonably attractive. They look for someone who's healthy, someone who – I don't know, could produce good-looking kids, and someone who, you know, like I said, so when women reach out to me, I believe I told you it was 140 women from 90 Day Fiancé reached out to me wanting a baby, and I believe it was 140. And so far, I got one pregnant in Sweden, and a lot of these women all said the same thing, that we talked about the 90 Day Fiancé, and they said, yeah, like, to me, like, you're my type. I like, to women that reached out to me, they found me attractive. They found me likable. They found me funny. They also saw my kids. Like, oh my God, you make really good looking kids. So a lot of people, and I saw like comments, people like, oh, why don't you just go to a bar and get pregnant? Like, have sex with a random guy. Well, for one thing, mostly a lot of these women are lesbian too. That's dangerous. You don't know if this guy has a genetic disease. You don't know if this guy has an STD. For me, I'm very careful. You know, obviously you can see the kids, how they turn out already. You can see how they're going to look. So a lot of women will say, oh my God, make really good looking kids. I wish we would have had some of my kids on the show, but you can look at like I've had articles where I had pictures of my kids, but if like I send them privately to women pictures of my kids, like I have like a collage of kids and I'm like, oh my God, you have really good looking kids. And so that's what women want. So a lot of people are saying, well, I can't believe women get pregnant by this guy, but yeah, maybe I'm not your type, but maybe I'm this woman's type. And they don't have an issue with it. So the Sweden girl, this is a crazy story. So her mom actually saw me on 90 Day Fiance. And her mom actually said, hey, I think it's fake. Can you get my daughter pregnant? She's 37. And this is during when the show was airing. She said in May, it was right after the show aired. She messaged me, but she saw me during the show. She says, hey, I saw you on the show. But I waited to reach out, and my daughter, her husband died in May. They were actually trying to have a kid. Right when he died, they were trying to have a kid in May, right, this May. And she's like, yeah, my daughter, she's depressed. She wants a child. She's desperate for a child. She's 37. She's getting older. Can you come help her have a baby? And she's telling me her story, how sad it was. I had a video call with the daughter, and we said, I can go to Gothenburg, just track your ovulation. And so we met up, tracked her ovulation, gave her one donation of sperm. I went around sightseeing in Gothenburg. You can see it on my Instagram, the pictures when I went there. That's when I donated. And she got pregnant on the first try at 37. And now we talk sometimes. Like, she'd show me, like, ultrasounds and stuff. And we were talking yesterday about, because I have a girl pregnant in Norway. And I said, well, why don't you guys do like a play date when the kids are a little bit older? She's like, oh my God, I'd love that. So they're going to, in a few years, they're probably going to have a play date with the girl in Sweden and the girl in Norway. So she said, I would love that.
So there's a 90 Day Fiancé baby. So this baby came from you being on the show. This is so interesting, right? Because the reaction.
Thank you, TLC. Thank you, TLC. Thank you. I actually am thanking you guys right now because of you. There is a baby on the way, and you didn't get pregnant, but this girl got pregnant. So actually, I do thank you. And there may actually be more 90 Day Fiancé babies in the near future, depending, because I'm talking another one. So, TLC, you're the baby maker connection people.
Yeah, they're the baby matchmaker.
Yeah,
a lot of people were saying like, oh, well, I don't like the way he goes about this. And you were talking about on the show how in vitro and these artificial insemination processes, you know, I was following the process. I think one of my friends, Sarah Fraser, was doing it. And I just was surprised at the astronomical cost of it and how it's not guaranteed. Like, I know people who have done it and they've paid $30,000, $50,000. And at the end of the day, they didn't get pregnant. So I think that a lot of people were like, well, I don't like how he does things. He should do it, you know, the professional way. Some women, you know, don't have $50,000 to put into having a baby, right?
Well, most do not have $50,000. I think that's the thing. It's some. It's most. The majority. I don't know. Maybe some women I speak to are like, I know some women that are millionaires that I got pregnant, and they went to a clinic. And they spent $20,000 and it didn't work. And they used me and got pregnant. So some of them actually do have a lot of money. They're millionaires. Some of them I know they could have, but they just didn't feel comfortable. I think the difference is between me and a clinic is that they actually get to see me and know me and have the option of the child meeting me. That's what they like. It's more of like a meaningful connection. Whereas at a bank, it's just a number on a vial. And to be honest, a lot of guys that donate at sperm banks are really ugly. No offense, but I talk to a lot of women and they're like, these guys are ugly. And also the sperm damages the DNA. So there's a much higher incident rate of disability by going to a sperm bank because the freezing process in the IVF and the IUI damages the sperm DNA. They claim that like the incidence of disability using a sperm bank is more than twice as high than the general population. And these are supposedly guys that are Ivy League educated and this, yet they have such higher rates of disability compared to the general population. And plus 50% of donor conceived people have like mental health issues because, you know, they're donor conceived. So it's like, wow. Like, I mean, geez, if you're saying, well, this guy's bad, well, then you really don't want to go to sperm bank because then you're just going to have a child that has a much higher chance of having a disability. And I think that's what people try to avoid. Obviously, I can't guarantee the kid's going to be perfect. And a lot of moms I donate to have certain genetic diseases or disabilities themselves. Like I said, I don't discriminate. But if you went to a bank, I think you're much more likely to have a child with a disability. And, you know, I think it's a lot safer, a lot better. It's a lot more healthy for the child to be able to know their biological father. It's much better.
So for the million-dollar question, a lot of people want to know, because this is a business. You could make money doing this and you don't. So everybody wants to know, why do you do this for free? Because we just talked about how much it actually costs women to do this if they go to a lab or they go to the sperm bank, if they do in vitro and fertilization. You could have millions of dollars technically, but you don't. So everybody wants to know, why don't you charge for this? Because you do get women pregnant on the first try, which a lot of people who do these artificial ways can't get pregnant on the first try. So technically what you do is worth a lot of money, but you don't take money. So let's figure out, why is that?
Well, it's unethical. It also may not be legal. Also, there was an issue with New Zealand where I got denied entry into New Zealand before. And what they stated on their denial letter was not true. They stated that I was coming to New Zealand to get travel costs as reimbursement. I said like in an article something about like if they wanted the help with like a bus fare or train fare to go donate while in New Zealand. So I wasn't actually charging anything, but New Zealand had a rule, because it's like if someone wanted to New Zealand, and I didn't know this was a rule at the time, they call it reward. If someone wanted to help out with, say, a train cost or bus cost to get to them while in New Zealand, that was fine. And I didn't know it was against the rules. And I stated, hey, you know, I didn't know this. I'm not going to charge. And they had no evidence, by the way, that I was going to do this. I said, okay, well, I'll just cover my own travel like I'm doing now, because I stated in it that I was spending like $3,000 probably on the trip. And I was like, okay, well, I'm okay covering this and any other thing while I'm in New Zealand to travel, because I wanted to go sightsee anyways and travel around New Zealand. That was the plan.
Right.
And then they denied me. And then I spoke to an attorney, and I was going to hire an attorney to get in, right? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, they shouldn't have denied you. But I didn't have time to go back to New Zealand, so I never went back to New Zealand because of that small little thing. But the lawyer said he probably would have got me in. They probably would have let you in because you weren't violating any rules. I mean, I got into Australia. Australia was fine. It's just that one country has an issue with me, New Zealand. Yet they'll let in. Yeah, if you go to...
What's the deal with you? Okay, so if they go to a lab or a bank, you can pay them. So what steps would you have to take to make you a business where you could take payments? Like, because what makes you different from a lab? That's what I'm trying to understand. Why is it different?
It's like very like gray area whether or not. I just don't take money because it's not ethical to make money. But yeah, like it could be like a crime.
You're spending a lot of your own money though, right? Mm-hmm. Can we say that? Like, because you're traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're... This is not a cheap hobby for you. This is a very expensive hobby.
Yeah,
right?
but a lot of times I'm traveling to that place anyways. Like I went to Japan to meet somebody who's pregnant. So like I wanted to visit Japan anyway. So a lot of the times I'm actually wanting to go there anyways. Like I planned on going there. So like I went to Japan, I went to Thailand anyways. I went to Singapore, Philippines, Israel. Like I planned to go to these places anyways. So I was okay arranging it around when they ovulated. So that's usually what it is. Like I don't usually travel too far unless I'm willing to like want to visit that place anyways. Usually like I'm in the United Kingdom right now, London, I try to stick within like London or around London. I try to keep around London or not too far from London or whatever. So usually it's not so bad. It's just when I want to travel somewhere like to Dubai or Egypt or something. Like, I want to go there anyway. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll pay my own travel costs. So it's not like all the time. I think people think I'm traveling to all these random places all the time. It's actually not too often. Maybe like every other month I'll go somewhere that actually is costing like a significant amount. Like, that's like, okay, like, yeah, I think I went to Switzerland and I had to book a ticket and everything. So that's when it costs a lot. But if it's like, you know, kind of around London or whatever, it's not like a whole lot.
So if there was a way where you could take money, if I'm hearing correctly, you don't want to. Is that what I'm hearing? It's not something
that
you
wouldn't.
So it's definitely a hobby for you. Or do you feel like you're helping? Because a lot of people would say, because a lot of people call having a baby gift from God, right? Like, it's a miracle. Uh-huh. Everybody can't. So do you feel like it's kind of like Santa Claus? It's like you wouldn't pay Santa Claus for bringing a present. So it's kind of like you're giving someone a gift and you want to leave it at that. It's a gift. You don't want anything in return. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I just feel like paying is unethical. And like, when you go to a bank, a lot of times they'll pay the guys and it just feels wrong. It feels very wrong, like, to get paid for something that, it's a gift. It's like, and I don't want the kid to grow up, like, to me, mentally wise, like, I don't want to live with myself knowing that that child's growing up and all he was to me was, like, $100 or $200. Like, I don't want that child to feel that way. Like, to me, it's like, imagine you had a child or you were the product of, like, a sperm bank or whatever, and they paid $1,000, $500, whatever have you. Like, to me, a lot of kids that are donating to sleep don't like the fact that all they are was a business transaction. And I want their children to know that they were wanted. It wasn't a business transaction. I didn't do it because I wanted like $100 or whatever. You know, it's very unethical. Like, the monetary reward is not worth the consequences for the future. I feel like how the children are going to feel. It just doesn't feel ethical to me. It doesn't feel right.
Got it. So people were saying that it's weird that you haven't had your own documentary yet. So is that like a goal? Is that a goal of yours? Do you want to tell your story? Because you're blowing my mind. Like, hearing you talk about it, like, you started, I didn't know you started just 10 years ago. Like, I didn't know that you have, like, you're going to do these Father's Day events. Like, would you want cameras to follow and kind of capture your journey and what's going on?
Well, TLC, if you guys want to give me my own series, we can, you know, everything I touch is turns to gold, so TLC, let me know. But, you know, if TLC doesn't take it, I can almost assure you Netflix is going to take it. After, because what I heard, I talked to people at Netflix, they really like this Netflix thing. Like, they were like, they want more. And even though, okay, I wasn't actually on Netflix. They just used, like, a line from me I said or something. They asked me something. And I stated like one little thing, or they filmed something. They took a media. I did past media and they took it. I wasn't actually on it, but they said I was featured on it. But they said they want more because I talked to someone that speaks to the people at Netflix, like higher ups at Netflix. So they definitely want more. So if TLC doesn't give me like my own sperm series or whatever, Netflix is probably going to do it. Well, so they need to get in the door.
I feel like Netflix would probably pay more. Because Netflix has such a huge reach. Like, anything that Netflix puts out there, you know, they did Jeffrey Dahmer, they did the Menendez brothers. Anytime they put out something, it kind of takes over the world. Like, even though these are old, you know, they happen not in the recent news, people are super interested in that. And I think your story specifically, I think the 98 Fiancé fans were just intrigued. You know, and intrigue can be in a good way or a bad way, but people are just intrigued.
No, it was good. No, it was good because if you looked on it, so Love in Paradise never was in the top 10 on HBO Max. Like, I think we got into the top 5 or 6 on HBO Max the first time, never. So obviously it was because of me. Like, I know people are going to say, oh, you're just bragging and there's other cast members, but let's be honest. The reason why it was so good and why it was controversial and talked about, if you looked at who we're talking about, is mostly me. Obviously, they talked about Lincoln Madeline, I think, second most. But they were really talking about me a lot. And so all I heard was good things, that the ratings were very, very good. The viewership was, like, everything. It was the best season they've ever had, pretty much, from what I heard from everyone and what was going on. And the top 10, it was never got in the top 10 on HBO Max before. And it was, like, the 5th or 6th best one. And if you go out this way, if this was, like, the main season, like, I know I said 140 that contacted me. Imagine if I was on, like, the main 90-day fiance or before the 90 days. I imagine that number would have been like 300 women would have contacted me.
Well, yeah, Love in Paradise is one of the lower performing.
It's the lowest, I'd say. It's the lowest. I don't think, I mean, besides like Diaries, I think this one's the bottom of the barrel. I think this one is the, yeah, unfortunately, it's there's no tell-all, there's, it's kind of just like, I thought they were going to do a tell-all this season. I wasn't sure. I honestly didn't know. I thought they were going to do like a tell-all for us. I'm like, hey, I mentioned it before to some producers. I said, hey, let's do like a tell-all. I think it'll be fun. And they never got back to me. But yeah, we got a lot more coming. But you're definitely going to see a lot more of me coming out. Like, I can't say like what form, but you'll be seeing. I mean, but TLC, hopefully, you know, we'll see what TLC has for me in the future, but you'll definitely be seeing a lot more of me. Definitely, 100%. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential there, like your own YouTube channel. People want to see what you're doing, and your lifestyle is just different, right? It's just different, and people are intrigued by it. I've been intrigued by it. And, you know, people are just wondering, how did you get into it? You know what else? I want to talk about this fight, right?
So I love it.
Lauren Allen from Before the 90 Days, right? He's on Before the 90 Days, and he was with Faith. You and him have announced that you're going to fight each other, a boxing match for charity, right? I believe it's to raise money, I believe, right? You're raising money. I don't remember what it was for. So tell me about this fight, and should I go? Like, where is it going to be? Like, what's going on?
See, this is the thing. We're still working out how we're going to do it because – so what we were talking about, do we just go fight in a back alley and put on boxing gloves and go at it? Do we rent a ring? Who would pay? How do we get people to pay for it? To me personally, I think TLC or Sharp or someone should sponsor, like UFC or whatever. Because how are we gonna set this up? Like, I'm talking to Lauren, how are we gonna set this up? And also, I know Scotty and Pedro want to also do a fight. I've seen like 100,000 fight. So what I was thinking, you know, TLC, Sharp, whatever, someone else could sponsor it. Me and Lauren could be the opening act, obviously, because we fight for who's the most hated character in 90 Day Fiancé history. Because people say, like, I'm, like, the most hated. I think I'm the most hated. Even though...
You think you're the most hated? I know Scott...
I'm the most hated.
Scott gets it pretty bad, though. I mean, you do get it pretty bad. I've heard some pretty nasty stuff about you, too. So, I don't know.
I think it's not that, like... Me personally, like, they think I'm bad. They think what I'm doing bad. So they want to say a lot of stuff bad. Like, they want to make up stuff. Like, they want to slander me because they just don't like me. Like, I have no blogger, like, random bloggers. They just make up stuff because they just don't like me. The truth is, if you want to be honest, what I think a lot of people are jealous because they're like, how's this guy going out here, dating his woman pregnant? They wish they were me. I know it kind of sounds braggy, but I think the reason why they attack me, slander me, say, make up all these things is because they're jealous. That's the truth. They are jealous. Some of them are jealous. They wish they could have, I believe they wish they could have kids, or they're just mad that these women want to get pregnant by me. So they're like, oh, let's slander this guy in the hopes that women won't want to get pregnant by him. And to be honest, at the end of the day, you know, I think most people that want to have a baby, you know, I think a lot of them, like, you know, once they talk to me, they realize, okay, well, obviously people lie. You know, obviously don't believe everything you see on the internet. I mean, obviously it's not true. I know you in Djibouti, you typically actually research and find out if something is true. You just don't go say, oh my God, this guy Jeff killed Bob or whatever. You know, obviously you wouldn't say that because then they could sue you for defamation. And a lot of people, let's just talk about the defamation thing. Yeah, some, you know, there's some little small nobodies, I call them fake influencers, that slander me. They you know, because they're not really influencers. They just pretend to be influencers just to try to get views and likes. And so they'll say, make up all these, I'm not going to say what, but they make up all these things. There's no evidence, there's no nothing. And I have proof against certain things. And they still say it. And I try to reach out to a few of them, but they don't really respond there, or they block me. So, I was trying to actually file a lawsuit against some of them because I was coming back to America. I was trying to see if it was even possible. I spoke to a lawyer, and I couldn't get their addresses. I was actually asking, can you send your address? If you want to make a story, we can go to court. We can settle this in court. Not a single one, Not a single one would take Pebble in the offer. Is that funny? They want to slander me, but they don't want to go to court, because if they win in court, then they can say, oh, they have a story. So if they're not, if they don't believe they're doing anything wrong, then they should get sued served. They should give me their address. We can send the lawsuit. That's it. But they don't want to do that. So obviously it would cost me a lot to try to find them. But I spoke to a lawyer and said, oh yeah, it's totally defamation. You can sue. But the question is, are you going to get a lot of money from it? Because most of these people don't have any money. Like, you don't sue someone that you're going to maybe only be able to get like $5,000, $10,000. You sue someone if you get like $1 million, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's not fun to open your phone and see a news article about you that's not true, accusing you of crimes and horrible things. That's not fun.
Well, no one's ever done that. Well, no news article or news outlet has ever defamed me. It's just like nobody. I mean, pretty much it's just like nobody. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, man, I've never seen that in an article where someone said, oh, Kyle committed this serious crime. I've never seen that. I've never seen a news outlet do it. It's just random nobodies, like some random blogger or some nobody. And when you try to get hold of them, they don't answer. You can't get their address. Or they'll say, oh, I'm not defaming you. Like, there's one guy in the UK, I won't say his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Some guy in the UK that everybody hates him. Everybody hates this guy. Everyone always makes up stuff, always makes up fake shit. And when I brought this shit up to him, I found his address. I was able to get my guy, found his address. I said, okay, well, I'm in the UK, so I'm going to give you two options. You can either remove what you're saying about me. And he said, wait, hold up. Why are you coming after me? Why are you doing this? I said, dude, you're defaming me. You know this stuff is false. He's like, listen, why don't you go after somebody else? This isn't fair. So he was scared. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He said, listen, I said, you have an option. You can either remove it, or I'm going to send this lawsuit to your address. We're going to go to court. Because in the UK, it's a lot easier to sue someone. They have to prove it. And he knew this stuff was – so I knew he knew this stuff was – what he was doing was wrong. And so he ended up actually deleting everything. And I actually said later on, I do an interview with him later on because he ended up deleting it. So I did say, okay, I'll do an interview because he did it. But he knew, because I told him, well, is it saying allegedly not defamatory? Because people always say if you say the word allegedly, magically it's not defamatory, which isn't true. I spoke to the lawyer about this. If I come to you and I say, I want you to remove it, and you don't remove it, even if you say allegedly, that's not a defense, because it's like, well, allegedly Bob shot Karen, but why would you say it if you didn't have evidence of this in the first place? So right. He removed it. He probably spoke to a lawyer or something or somebody, and they said, you got to remove this or you're going to get screwed. So he ended up removing it. But another thing about the defamation stuff, I spoke about this. USA is the worst place in the world for super defamation. You sue in Europe, Ireland, Austria, anywhere in the European Union, because in the European Union, you can actually sue like social media companies. I think I told you this, like you can go after YouTube, you can go after Facebook, you can go after Reddit, you can go any of these social media companies. And most people don't know this, because if you send them a letter, they'll still deny it. But if you look at a few cases, the law was made to sue Facebook and all these companies if you notify them and they're notified, because they have a defamation form on Facebook, you have a defamation form. If they refuse to remove the stuff, you can file a lawsuit. And actually, they'll tell you, you could take us to court. But then if you speak to their lawyers, like if you send a letter to like their lawyers, they'll deny it. But if you look at some case law, there was a case in Australia. This guy sued, he's a politician. He lost his job in politics because of YouTube. They said, well, this guy made a video saying he's corrupt, he's a pedophile. Just obviously it was defamatory stuff, is a couple things, whatever. He's saying that, but mostly he's saying he's a corrupt politician and he lies and stuff. And so he wrote to YouTube saying, hey, I want this video removed. Can you remove it? YouTube refused. So he filed a lawsuit against YouTube, and you're not going to believe it. He won, I believe it was $500,000 from YouTube. $500,000?
Really?
Yes. You can look this case up. It was in 2022. He won about $500,000 because of YouTube. Said, oh, well, we're not going to remove this. And he said, screw it. So I'm going to file a lawsuit in Australia. And because Australia, you can sue Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, whatever. And so they refused to do it. So because they're going to tell you, and a lot of people are going to say, because that's this Facebook, YouTube, all these companies know that they're likely not going to go after you. But I'm telling you guys right now, that's bullshit. If you're defamed, don't bother going after the person, the YouTuber, because you're not going to get a lot of money. Go after YouTube. Go after Google. Go after Reddit.
go after Facebook, go after Twitter directly. And you can sue them in the UK, you can sue them in Ireland, you can sue them anywhere in the EU, you can sue them in Australia. Don't just go after them. Trust me, they're gonna tell their lawyers that they can't do it. It's a lie. You can sue them. So, because they know you have no way of getting your money back if you sue some random YouTuber with 10,000 followers. It's impossible. So, yeah, that's great advice. I'm giving great legal advice. Like all these other 90-day people that get defamed, don't bother with these small YouTubers, and you're unlikely to even find them to serve them. Go directly to YouTube, or even anyone on Married at First Sight. I know some people that got defamed, other reality shows, but they don't do the research. So if you do your research, you get defamed. And if you lose your job because of the defamation, because one of these social media companies didn't remove the stuff, yeah, you're going to get a lot of money. So yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you get rich. So, you got to teach them a lesson. Yeah, you got to teach YouTube. You got to teach these companies that they need to take action.
We have to control, especially in the U.S., there's a really bad situation with false information just being spread. And no one is doing anything about it. Like you're saying, no companies are doing anything to stop the spread of
false. They don't care. YouTube, if you go to YouTube, you can't even sue YouTube or Facebook for defamation in USA. It's like one of the only places in the world that won't let you. But Europe, UK, our European Union, Australia, New Zealand, all these countries, you can go directly after YouTube and Facebook. But in USA, they'll tell you, oh, you have to find a person. Yeah, good luck finding an anonymous person on YouTube or Facebook. You're just not going to do it. It's just not possible. And even if you did do it and you won, you're not going to get much money, because usually people that defame people, 99% of the time, they have no money to get. I've known people that sued for defamation and they won and they got nothing. The only thing that happened was they got the content removed, but they couldn't get any money back. So you have to weigh, is it really worth suing some broke person and spending $10,000 to get one thing removed? Or 99% of the time, it's not worth it. Maybe like 1 or 0.1% of the time, it's worth suing someone that doesn't have money if their business is struggling. But dude, it's a lot of work. Like you know, you have to find someone that knows how to do it. And I spoke to lawyers about this. Like there's this Canadian guy. I'm not going to say his name. You probably know who he is. He was defaming me. And I contacted him. I said, hey, what's your address? Can I serve you? He wouldn't give me his address. I said, well, you're saying all these things that are false and you don't want to prove it. He wouldn't prove it to me. I had evidence against it, his statement, and he refused to take down anything. And I said, great. So then give me your address and we could sue. And I could sue him from the UK, but I didn't really know where exactly he was assumed, so it was kind of hard. And then I spoke to a lawyer. The lawyer told me, well, we want $10,000 to start the case. And then I called the police department where he lived. He was in Quebec. And they told me it was a crime what he was doing. The defamation, because in Canada, it's a crime. And then she spoke to her supervisor and said, okay, we'll take a police report. You're right. This guy is committing a crime. And then they said, can you come into the police station to take a report? We need your address to come in. I said, well, I'm in UK right now. I was like, okay, well, if you're in Canada, we can take a report and we can they said they could take action against this guy. But most likely, they would have just told the guy to take down the stuff. Most likely, they're not going to charge the guy. More than likely, they would have said, okay, take down the stuff. And he'll drop it. Typically, they only charge them if they refuse. But they said they would have actually took action. I gave evidence to them. I told them all the stuff. He said, well, you're not in Canada, so you'd have to file in where you're at and send it to us. But because defamation isn't a crime in the UK anymore, it used to be, there wasn't much I can do. So either I fly to Canada, spend $1,000 to go there and file a police report, or do nothing, because it would have cost me, you know, $1,000 to get the guy charged. I mean, I was like, okay, so that's a little bit difficult. But it's bullshit, man. USA needs to do better about protecting people. They have billions of dollars. And if they're not going to do it, well, then more people need to launch lawsuits against defamation. And if they tell you can't sue them, they're lying to you. I know they're lying. There's multiple cases you can look up where YouTube, Facebook, other social media companies were sued for defamation, and you can find it. There's one where a politician, Austria, she sued Facebook in 2019, and she said, "I want all this stuff deleted," and they deleted it, and she won the lawsuit as well. There's another guy in UK who sued in Ireland. He's a politician, and they deleted the stuff right away, but they took like 2 weeks to delete the stuff, and so he still sued YouTube
because they took too long and they said, you can do this. There were some other cases I saw, but for the most part, if people did their research, they could absolutely sue social media companies. You need to stop these people doing defamation. It's the only way, because then they'll change their policies. If enough people sue, they will change their policies and just delete the defamatory stuff. Because if you don't do anything, they're just YouTube, Facebook, whatever. They're just going to allow people to keep defaming people. They don't care. They really don't care.
Yeah. They don't. They're going to get paid regardless. So if no one is filing reports or filing lawsuits, they don't care. You know,
they don't care.
They respond to subpoenas, right? I think that's how you get YouTube's attention, a subpoena, is how you
In the USA, you get a subpoena. In the UK, you can sue directly Facebook for defamation. You don't need to sue the person that posted it. In the USA, you'd have to get a subpoena. But I mostly spend my time in Ireland and the European Union and UK now. So I'm able to sue here. So, but other Americans may struggle to sue here because they have to establish that they have some connection to Ireland, EU, UK, where I do, so I can sue in, like, EU, so it's a lot easier. Whereas other people, well, good luck. You can try to come sue here if you wanted to in the EU or Australia, but you have to establish jurisdiction, you know, and it's a little bit more difficult if you live full-time in USA. So, like I said, people, you got to start filing lawsuits against YouTube, Facebook. You got to start doing some stuff. Make it happen, call lawyers. Eventually, they'll change their policies and they'll make it a lot easier. And eventually, I feel like USA is going to have to change the laws on defamation for sure. They can't keep doing this. They know they say free speech and whatever, but come on, man. You know, what about Craigslist? Remember how Backpage.com got shut down? They said those people were running a sex trafficking website, so they were liable. So, what did that make all these other companies liable? Because they're just hosting their content. So then if we apply the same law, then technically the company should be liable for defamation in the U.S. So they need to start doing this. But let's go to more let's move on to the fight thing. I think the fight thing more is the big thing. So, yeah, me and Lauren want to fight in Vegas in January or February. Right now, we're not really sure how we're going to get people to pay, who's going to – because I told him – we pretty much need TLC or someone to sponsor it. So I know he brought it up to them before. I heard on the grapevine it was brought up. It caught their attention. TLC, like Sharp, these people were – it caught their attention from what I heard on the grapevine. And so after that, I saw Scotty and Pedro. They want to do like 100,000 fights. So I'm thinking if it works out, somebody sponsors it, hopefully TLC or Sharp. We go to Vegas, we do a boxing match for MMA, we train a few weeks, me and Lauren, and we duke it out, we do round one, we do our little fighting bit, whatever, and then Scotty and Pedro fight, and then anyone else, 90-day fiancé people that want to fight, that would be cool too. That's what we're kind of planning, hopefully it plans out that way. I mean, you know, I think Lauren is being a little bit more unrealistic than me. Like, to me is, like, you know, yeah, we could say we're going to fight, but how are people going to pay? Like, obviously, we could say, oh, we'll fight on YouTube, and then you charge them to watch the fight or whatever. But, like, I think getting out there, promoting it, doing it, actually getting it, setting it up, I think realistically, we probably need a little bit of help doing this. And I think we need someone bigger than us to kind of assist with this to really get it out there. I want it to be a big thing. I mean, obviously, we could go on YouTube and duke it out on a channel and maybe hopefully people donate and stuff watching us. But what is that going to be, like 100, 200 bucks? It's not really worth it. I mean, we're talking about it's like $5,000, $10,000, you know, whatever, like $5,000 to raise for charity or whatever. And then we rent a little boxing ring to duke it out, and then Scotty and Pedro fight. I mean, then some other ones. I mean, this could be a big thing. TLC needs to get on this. Yeah, I mean,
I like the idea. I do think you guys need more cast members. Because, you know, when you go, you know, when we watched the Jake Paul and Mike fight, right, there was a lot of people on the bill. So the more people you get involved, you know, the more tickets you get to sell. So, like, if you get Angela involved or, you know, some of the other cast members, you know, and then you have different, people.
Angela and Jasmine. I saw someone bring up Angela and Jasmine fighting. I saw that. That was funny. I love that. Angela and going out with Jasmine. But
Natalie and Sophie get into it on this last resort. There's drinks and stuff flying. So these, if we can get more people involved, you know, I think people love seeing 90 Day Fiancé in different parts, especially in pop culture. It's my favorite show. So when I see it spill over into pop culture, I see it on TMZ, I see it in other places. That's exciting for me because it's like, wow, the whole world is interested in this one thing that I used to be the only one. I was the only one in my friend group. No one else cared. And now it's spilling over. So I think this fight is pretty... It's intriguing for me. I would want to see the cast members get involved with something like this. And if y'all could raise money, you know, and then some of the money goes to help, you know, whatever y'all want to do with it, that's a positive thing too. If y'all want to help, like, for instance, for your part, you could raise money to cover travel for, you know, being a donor because like everybody could have their own little thing that they're raising money for. I think it's a good thing. And I think that if Sharp was smart, you know, and they were proactive, you know, proactive is there's always room for innovation and change. They could do events like this and then get people from in front of the TV and in seats in front of it and watching it. You know, I think there's a market for that. If they could do live stuff like this, you know, the fans would want to be a part of something that's happening right in front of them instead of sitting in front of the TV.
And it's great. It's a great idea because who wouldn't like to see the two hated cast members duke it out for supremacy to see who's like, I'm thinking like, since I think personally I'm the most hated. So I would fight Lauren. Lauren's probably second hated. So we duke it out to see who is the most hated cast member. If I win, that means I'm the most hated cast member in 90 Day history. Obviously, Big Ed's up there. There's some other guy that went to jail for like 15 years. I mean, he's up there.
And whoever wins, they get a belt, and then there's recurring fights, and you can defend your title. So say somebody premieres and they're even more hated than you, then they have to come and take the belt from you. They have to fight you, and it kind of continues. You know how on Miss America, the old Miss America gives the new Miss America the flowers and the crown? Kind of like that. You'll pass the belt along as new cast members come along. Like, I'm telling you, I see the potential here. I hope that they're able to see the potential as well.
Yeah, no, I hope we're able to make something happen. And I mean, if we do, I mean, geez, we're going to make so much. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, that's what other topics haven't we covered? But yeah, I think let's move on from that. I think we pretty much covered the gist of that. Like I said, we'll try to range it up. Hopefully we'll keep everyone updated on the fight and everything, see what's going to happen. But what did we cover?
I'll keep my eyes peeled for that. I know we wanted to talk about some of the stuff that people were saying, because I know we were talking about that defamation stuff because it's been coming up a lot lately.
Not anymore.
Not just with you, just like with other cast members too. People have been victims of a lot of different...
Scott. I knew a guy that they said he raped like tons of women. You know, I mean, these are like, I think there's some things that cross the line. I mean, I think that's a really horrible thing to say, that you rape someone. That's like a really bad thing to say. Like, that's like, there's just no evidence. Like, dude, they say it about every cast member. I've seen it, I talked to a lot of cast members. Every single one said the same thing. They always defame them. And one of the biggest things that they always say about the guys is that they're rapists, they rape tons of women. They do this. It happens to every single cast member, the whole rape thing. I think people don't understand. That's like a very serious thing, because when you say that, and let's say someone was actually raped and they were actually raped and whatnot, like they were a victim, people are less likely to believe them if people put out false information like that. Because if you have 99 people and they're saying, oh, this person's a rapist, this person raped tons of people, and it's fake, it's false, and then that one person was actually raped, you think the police are going to believe that one person? They're much less likely to believe it. So I think people need to understand they need to change their actions. The bloggers, those unethical bloggers, those nobodies, those fake influencers that want to get somewhere, they need to take a little rain check. They need to look inside themselves and see, is what they're doing right, saying these things? You know, even people said things about me, and I think I want to ask you, is what you're doing right? Yeah, you don't like me. That's great. But when you look at it, you know, is it really helping society by you saying that? Because when someone goes, and let's say someone's an actual victim of a crime, and you're saying, you're putting all this false information, people are less likely, police, whoever, is less likely to believe an actual victim. And I think that's something that's very serious. Like, do you really want to do that? And I think they need to take it away. Yeah, if someone had charges or whatever, absolutely do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're like, real
information is public record. And, you know, it's for the taking, right? It's out there for
people
to
see. Easy to get.
If it happens, it happens. It is what it is. But
absolutely,
you're right. People take it to where I don't like this cast member, so I have to try to. And Scott went through this. There were people, I want to ruin his life. I want him to lose his job. I want him to lose everything. And it's like,
yeah.
Because
he did. He did lose his job. He did lose his job. He did. I spoke to a few cast members. They did lose their job because of it. Some people almost lost their jobs. I heard, I think it was Riley. I heard Riley lost his job. Shibuti posted that. I mean, yeah, it's like really serious. Some things. I don't think Riley lost it because of defamation. I think he lost it because of, I believe from what I heard, is the whole, like, it's just the face of it. People don't like that. The bosses don't like that. The pressure. They feel uncomfortable.
His job was very, he had security clearance and stuff. Yeah. It was a whole thing. No one really lied on him. It was more so that, you know, the U.S. government, they don't like to be in any certain type of light, you know, and it's serious. So that was different. But yeah, I'm just really hoping that the bloggers realize that, because I've always said this since the beginning, everybody that's on the show, every cast member is a real person. They have a mom, they have a dad, some of them have kids, they have careers. This is not, they're not on, Vanderpump Rules. This is not the end job for them. They have things that they're going to do after this. So I might call people out on their shit, but I'm not going to bully people. I'm not going to lie on people. You know, like if they did something, I'll say it. And if they did something on the show that I didn't like, I'll say it. But I'm not going to sit and dedicate my time to defaming and trying to ruin someone's life because they were on a show and I didn't like it. You know, that's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, and like with me, is like I've never had a journalist, I've never had a news outlet defame me. And what I would say is, if you believe I did something, why don't you go to like the New York Times, the Daily Mail, and make a story, and then they'll investigate and do it? Because I spoke to journalists multiple times about certain things, and they said, listen, Kyle, I've been investigating you for over 3 years. She actually put me in a book, this girl. Over 3 years, she was investigating me. She could not find a single credible thing that actually made me a bad guy. She said I was kind of a weird guy, but besides that, I was not like a criminal. I wasn't bad. She said it was weird. I said, I want to be honest. And I investigated you. And I said, I'm not going to defame you though, because, you know, I don't want to get sued. And, you know, if you really believe, like a blog or whatever, if they really believe me or someone else did something so horrible, so bad, and they feel like it's true, you should immediately, one, go to the police. Absolutely. Call the police immediately. Or two, go to the New York Times, go to a journalist, Daily Mail. I can guarantee you, if you're a 90 Day Fiancé star or a reality TV star and you committed a crime or there's something that's so horrible, so bad, and it needs to be out there, don't blog about it. Go get a news outlet story about it. Have them investigate. Then they'll investigate. If they find out it's true, you can post their story on your YouTube channel and say that they got the information from you. Now you have this story. Now the Daily Mail, whoever could promote you, and then you did the right thing. Instead, you're just going to post stuff that's fake, and then it makes you look bad. It makes you look less credible, like the guy in Britain, the UK guy who defames people all the time. It makes him look like an idiot because now everyone's like, this guy puts out fake shit, and he knows he's wrong. The only reason he backed off now because he knew I had his address, and he knew he was going to get sued. I was planning on doing it. I was like, okay, dude, if this guy doesn't do it, I'm going to go serve him. And apparently he lives with his girlfriend. I don't think his girlfriend would be happy him getting a lawsuit in the UK from an American guy and getting his ass whooped in court. So, you know, you got to do the right thing, guys. Step up. You know, like I know one guy, he went to jail for having child pornography. Of course, that was all over the news.
Oh,
that's something huge. Yeah. I forgot who it was, Mike or something, some Mike guy or.
I think from season one of the show, season one or two, I'm thinking one though.
Yeah, of course. It was legit though. And it was, you know, verified and everything. You had the stuff. So of course the journalists and everyone verified it. And, you know, you're going to talk about it.
But, you know, come on, man. Don't put out fake stuff. Some people, you know, I don't want to put names of what cast members told me, but, I mean, there's some very serious things some bloggers were putting out there about some cast members that, to me, it was very obvious it was fake. But, obviously, when you say that stuff, the people that say it may get mad. Most people may not believe it, but the people that do believe it, they'll go over there and try to harass that person. They'll try to get them fired from their job. They'll contact their family members. So that's, like, I think the biggest thing is that it could be a very dangerous situation. People that lie. Like, a lie could be, you know, settled, but some people, like, if they have a good job or people may harass them, they threaten them.
Like what they always say, because we were just talking about this the other day with my friend, with OJ. He was innocent in court. He was guilty for the rest of his life. You know, when you make up something about someone and people believe it, even though there's no proof, even though that man walked away, Was he innocent? He was acquitted in court. I'm not saying he was innocent. He was acquitted in court.
Oh, okay.
And in the public opinion, he was guilty. So when
I thought he went to prison. Wait, didn't he go to prison? OJ?
Not for OJ, not for murder. No.
Oh, Bill Cosby. Oh, Bill Cosby.
No. OJ. Bill went to prison. He's still in prison. They acquitted him. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I mean, let's be real. But when you say things about people, it sticks. And the worse it is, the more it sticks. So even though there was no proof that he did anything, he was acquitted. To the day he left this planet, everyone said that he did that. And I think when you make up lies about people, you know, even though it's not true, even though we can't prove it, it sticks. Look at Michael Jackson, right? He was acquitted too. It's like, but you say something really awful about someone, it sticks for the rest of their life. And I think bloggers have to realize that these are real people. They're on a reality show. They're real people. So you say something awful, it's on the internet forever. People might believe it. So just be a little
careful. They might. You're correct. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's how I look. Most people may not. Like I said, a lot of things I heard people say is very obvious it was fake. Like, a lot of people said, okay, well, obviously this is false. But, you know, there's obviously going to be that small percentage of people that are really dumb that are like, this is true. And so what they're going to do is, to be honest, from what I understand is a lot of people were emailing TLC because they were upset about me. I don't know exactly the whole everything, but I do understand people were emailing. And I believe it may have been because they put up false information. Now, by the way, TLC knows stuff is false. Like, they would tell me, they know.
They do background checks. I don't know if people are aware. They do a background check.
They do. I can say this. I can say this because it already came out. So, yes, they do background checks. And it's not breaking NDA because someone posted their contract. So, yeah, it's very obvious they do background checks on people, even though if TLC comes for me and says, well, why'd you say that? Well, someone already posted the contract. It's already out there. But yeah, it's not like they're going to get someone on you as a criminal. They're going to do a background check. They're going to research you. They're going to Google you. I mean, everyone has Google. You think people are just having people on reality shows and they don't Google them? Like, come on. That's what people are thinking. People are like, oh, you guys must have not Googled Kyle or Scott or all these people. I can guarantee you, every single person that went on a reality show or TV show, they Googled thoroughly. I can guarantee you there's any person in this day and age that goes on reality TV that they do not Google thoroughly. They do not background check. Well, I can assure you.
The ironic part is people were upset about, you know, you being a donor. And I think that was a big part of why they chose you, because they knew that it was going to bother people or intrigue people or both. And I think that's probably why.
Yeah.
So it's funny because they were like, oh, TLC, you should do better. And I'm thinking, they did this on purpose. Like, I guarantee you that was the main.
They can't do any better. They know it. They know they couldn't do any better. They wanted me, and people knew, because the comments were like, everyone. And by the way, I read like every single comment about me, about every platform, Instagram, every single comment. If you made a comment, I more than likely read it. On every interview, everything, I read all my comments throughout the past 10 years. I like reading the comments, and I've actually messaged people a couple times just to say, hey, oh, cool, well, you're a fan. But, they have me on because obviously I'm controversial. Like, dude, everything I touch turns to gold. I mean, if you look at Dr. Phil, I had a video that had like 4 million views. I did a show in France. I think it's called, I don't want to say it, but it's like one of the biggest shows in France. Just their trailer on me got over like 9 million views. A trailer in France. It was the most they've ever had for a trailer before. And they said, oh my God, it's amazing. So everything I touch turns to gold. TLC knows this. Netflix knows this. Every media company knows this. So they all want me because they know. I get contacted probably every other week by a media outlet asking me, oh, can we do an interview? Can we talk to you about doing your own series, documentary? I mean, I highly doubt any other cast member, 90 Day Fiancé, gets contacted as much as I do for media, like all the time. Because once the show is over on 90 Day Fiancé, to be honest, there's not much interest in those people, and they're probably not going to get a whole lot of media interest. But for me, it's like I always have updates, or always have like stories, or you know, I have moms wanting to talk to them, or there's always like updates in my life, so they always want to talk to me. Like, you know, anyone could go on 90 Day Fiancé and do this, but to be honest, after the show airs, they're going to be, most of them are, I guess the word is forgotten. They're not really, they don't have any other thing to pass that unless there's like some, you know, some big updates. But most people that are on the show, they don't really get much attention after that. It kind of sizzles away. You know, obviously the big ones like Big Ed and a couple others, you know, I still see them even when they're not on, you know, because they post on Instagram. But for the most people that are 90 Day Fiancé, after their 15 minutes of fame is up, you don't really hear much about them anymore. And they kind of just, yeah, like the majority of people on 90 Day Fiancé that were on it, I don't even know who they are. Like, I keep tabs on them. Like, I've talked to a lot, quite a few of them, but most of them, I don't even think I know most of them who they are. Like, I think they just, you know, I think once they get, they're not on it anymore, it's kind of just, it's all done, and they're not that interested. But with me, they're like, oh my God, you're a Sky, you have all these kids. They want to keep getting updates on where I'm at. Like, every other week, I'm telling you, I have to tell these journalists, oh my God, like, what do I do here? And I have journalists contacting me during the show. I'm like, oh, I can't do an interview right now. I thought I could do an interview. I actually put it in my contract. I thought I could do interviews during the show air because I put it in the contract. And then apparently they didn't like me to do interviews. And I said, well, it was fine though during the show air. And I understood that was fine. So I didn't really do it, but I just told people I can't do it, wait till the show's over. And that's when some people that wanted to vlog me, they didn't want, I couldn't do like interviews when the show was airing. I kind of had to wait a little bit after the show was over and then kind of sizzled down. I did an interview with the Stephanie Motto.
Stephanie Motto.
With the girl I was kind of dating, the OnlyFans model. I dated her, and I tried to get her pregnant, but she miscarried, and she never, we just kind of gave up, and it kind of just went away. But yeah, she was like an OnlyFans model, and we were talking about not going on 90 Day Fiancé ourselves, but it didn't work out with us. She was cool, though. She's not actually too far from me in London, I think. I'm still single right now, so obviously I'm still looking for a wifey that will accept me for who I am. That's the biggest thing. I'm still looking for a wifey. And, you know, obviously, if anyone's listening and they're interested, they should contact me. And I will see.
Yeah. We got to put that out there. If you're interested and you're okay with his lifestyle and the growing number of children that he has, you know, reach out and see what happens, right? Because I feel like if you were dating someone, we'd probably see you on the show again. I feel like we would. Right,
I feel you would. I think if I got married, if I married Annie, you definitely would see me on the show. I know my castmate Aaliyah and is it Shane or Jeff?
Aaliyah and Sean.
Aaliyah and Sean. They're filming for the next season. I know that. They're going to be
here
on the
now
next
too.
Season.
Yeah, she's here now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – it's funny because people are taking pictures of them at the airport and videos. So obviously everyone knows they're here. Aaliyah and Sean are here in Los Angeles from what I understand. So they are – they're going to be on the next season. And I'm happy for them. I'm happy they got a new one. I don't know if my other – I don't think my other cast members got picked up for any of the other like Single Life or anything. I know a lot of castmates that I talked to that were on other seasons or whatever – or like these past seasons, they were asked to go like on Single Life and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see who's on the next – when this Single Life air? Is that going to be in January or February, the next season, I'm assuming?
They're not even filming until next couple of months. So we won't see it until this summer. They actually replaced it with – they're doing The Last Resort, And then after the last resort, they're doing the last resort single house in Mexico where the single.
How do you know that they're not filming for Single Life yet?
I can't disclose that, but I do know that they're casting right this moment and they'll be filming within the next month and a half. But we're not going to get it until this summer. So
well, fortunately, I'm going to be in LA. So fortunately, I'll be in Los Angeles, but I'll also be in London. Single Life.
If you want to put your name in the hat, they're casting right now, as far as I know. So if you want to throw your name in there, you know, they are.
I may have mentioned myself. So we'll see. I guess we'll see when Single Life airs if you're going to see me or not, or see me on that. I guess I can't really say. No one really knows if you know what you're going to see. But you will see more of me. You just don't know what in what contents yet. But
We'll see
the single house.
The single house that they did in Mexico, that would be a good place for you to go because they bring other cast members that are single and then just random singles. And then they mingle together.
I would have done that one. I probably would have requested my own place, though. I don't like sharing, like, bathrooms and stuff. I like privacy, man. I would have said...
It was, like, a big house. So, like, I think you would have had your own room, but I think y'all would have shared a bathroom.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
See, I like my privacy. Yeah. If you look at my place I have now, I have, like, a one-bedroom guest house in London. Pretty nice, actually. It's a one-bedroom. Good size. Have a yard. I have a big TV there. I watch movies on. It's really nice. So, I like privacy. I said that on the show. I didn't share a place with Annie because I'm very private, you know. See, if I had, like, a wife, my perfect situation would be, like, I live in the guest house and she lives in the front house with the kids. If I had, like, a wifey, I wouldn't share a bed with her. Like, I would have my own, like, place, like, bedroom and bathroom or, like, a guest house. Or maybe I'd have, like, the top floor and she has the bottom floor with the kids. Yeah, that's how I would do it. Do you share a place with your partner? Wait, you have a partner?
I have my own stuff. Yeah, I have my own place. But when you're married, I think that you're supposed to stay together, right? I mean, if you've been married for a long time, I know a lot of married people, they don't sleep in the same room because they don't want to anymore. But yeah. I don't know. It's interesting that you would go into a new marriage in a separate space. It's kind of interesting.
I kind of have struggle sleeping, so that's another reason why. Like, I kind of feel weird sleeping in the same bed because I struggle to sleep usually. A lot of it's due to the supplements I take. I take, like, a lot of supplements, and it keeps me up, really, so it's hard to sleep. So you probably wouldn't want to share a bed with me anyways. Like, people who have slept in the same bed before, they have said, you don't really sleep. You struggle to sleep. I'm like, yeah, that's why it's not good sharing a bed with me. So... I said, yeah, I would have a separate room. I'd have a separate house. You know, when my mom and dad were together, my dad actually slept in, like, our little basement place we had in our house. It was kind of like a basement, or it was like a bottom floor area, a den. I think you'd call it den. So he slept in the den. Yeah. So my parents actually didn't share a bed. Maybe when I was younger, they did. They're only together a few years, but he slept in, like, the den area. So I think it's more normal these days to not share a bed or a room with your significant other. And honestly, I wouldn't want to share a place with my – I'd prefer to have my own place. But if we were sharing a place, I'd want, like, the top floor, own bedroom, bathroom, like, my own little apartment, and then – or, like, a guest house, like, an annex. Here in London, they call it an annex or, like, a guest house or something. So that's the situation I want. So women that are interested in that or, you know, just living apart or whatever, just being in a relationship. That's good too. Like, you know, cause out here in London, I should probably note in the UK, if you have a kid, you get, like, a free house. So it's actually beneficial if you get pregnant. Yeah.
You get a free house?
Yeah. So, you know, Section 8 in America, right? So here they actually have public housing and they give you a free house. Like, I have multiple moms that get, like, a free house. Like, they're, like, 18, right? I got an 18-year-old girl pregnant in Scotland and they gave her a free house cause she got pregnant or something. Yeah. I know the welfare here is, like, really good. That's why a lot of young people here get pregnant because they get, like, a free, like, a lot of good benefits. Like, in America, they're not as good. But here, like, a lot of women I know, they get pregnant. And then after I got them pregnant, they got, like, a welfare house. Let's call it a welfare house.
It's called a council house, but it's technically welfare. It's like Section 8, but it's the government builds them, gives them to the people. The girl is, I don't think I want to say that about her private, but for the most part, it's very, I say there's more single moms with welfare houses than not welfare houses in the UK. So like most single women here that have a kid have a welfare house. Yes. But if you're a man, they don't give you anything in the UK. Like they give you nothing. You get nothing. You get nothing. But if you're a single woman and you have a kid, you get a free house, you get a ton of welfare, and yeah, you live a good life. You don't have to. You really don't have to work here ever. Like I have a running joke with my friend. You go to America if you want to work, be successful, and have a good job and make money, and you go to UK if you want to be a bum and get free welfare. So it's the truth. It's the truth, though. It's like if you talk to women here in the UK, they will say the same thing. But the interesting thing is most women here that I speak to, they said, yeah, if I was to work, I want to move to America because you make more. You don't make that much out here compared to America. And the tax rates here are about the same as California. So you're paying about the same taxes as you would in California, like income taxes. So you if you say like in Washington, there's no state tax, you're paying less. But if you're in California, I think I did it. Once you make $100,000 here, you pay about the same in taxes as California residents. So it's just you make so much more in America. Like the income is some jobs you make twice as much in California as you would like in London, like Los Angeles. You make twice as much, but the cost of living is like the same. So yeah, if you want to get free welfare, come to the United Kingdom. If you want to work and be successful, go to America. But for me, if you're American and you're coming with like American money, it's probably better to live in London because I like the cold weather. And I have my credit card. I have like a Chase Sapphire credit card. You can get free airport lounges. It's really good because you get like no foreign transaction fees. So I use that. I book all my Airbnbs with that. But yeah, if you want to work, be successful, go to America. So I think it's a good country. If you wanted a kid by me, I would make our kid an American citizen so they can have a better life. So I'm doing that for a few women I got pregnant. I'm going to get the kid my citizenship so they can, because with Trump becoming president now, it'll be harder for immigration for some people. So yeah, with me.
He's ending birthright citizenship. So when you're.
Did he say that? Is this actually going to happen though?
Well, he said on day one, that's what he planned to do, but it's not signed because he's not president yet. But he said that day one, if your parents are illegal and you're born here, you know, you would become a citizen because you were born here. He said that he would end that starting day one when he takes.
That's like every other country, because if you're illegal and you're born there, you're not a citizen, except maybe like Germany.
Right. It was like that, but then it got changed. He wants to change it back. So
it's better than I think that actually makes sense, because if you're illegal and you're coming here to have a kid, It's like, you know, they get a citizen, but like in UK, if you're illegal and you get birth here, you don't get anything. But in America, if you get birth, I think only Germany and Europe, if you're born in Germany, you get citizenship if you're illegal. I believe everywhere else, you can't get it. So it's pretty much like Europe and Australia and New Zealand, every other country. Canada also has birthright. My friend actually went to Canada to give birth, just so his kid could become an American, a Canadian citizen as well. I have a child that has Canadian and American citizenship, but the mom's also Canadian, so he has dual citizenship. So actually, a lot of my kids have dual citizenship. But I also told a lot of moms, people listening right now, like if you want your kid to become an American citizen, hey, I'll get you pregnant and I'll do the paperwork so the kid become an American. Happy to do that. I'm gonna do it for a few of my moms, like in UK and Philippines, and so their kids can live a better life, you know. It's a pretty nice thing to do, you know, making these kids citizens so their lives can be better. That is a very nice thing to do. They could technically sue me for child support very easily, but
yeah, I was gonna say, because in order for them to, for you to do the citizenship paperwork, you have to put on a lot of different documents.
I don't think I have to be on the birth certificate technically. I asked about this because I couldn't do it for the Philippines. It's very difficult because you actually have to be there. But I was gonna do um a um I was going to fill out the documents, and I was going to do it for one of my moms in Hong Kong. She makes actually a lot of money. She makes like a lot of money. Like if you want to go to Hong Kong, that's the place to go to get rich. Cause she's making bank, and she makes, and they have like no taxes in Hong Kong. It's like 3%, and she makes like 90,000 a year. And then her tax is only like 3%. So she makes a ton of money. And then she sends some money back to her parents, and she owns a business. She has like 2 houses, a car. So she does really well. And I met the kid in the Philippines, and it's funny. I went to the Philippines it was weird because I was at the Philippines at the same time he was getting his baptism. And so she had a party after the baptism, and I went there and I met her entire family. This was in January. Her entire family I met, and I met her twin sister, her mom, her dad, cousins, and we were all like talking, and like I'm like, he's like, the dad was like, who are you? Oh, I'm like, I'm the guy. Like, what do you mean the guy? And he's like, oh, I'm the baby daddy. So she didn't tell them like I was like a sperm donor. We told them like I was like her boyfriend, like I dated her for like a week. That's what she wanted me to say, because she said her family's very conservative. They wouldn't like if I would have said like sperm donor. We said we were like dating and stuff, and so I did that, and I met them, and it was cool. I had Filipino food. We took some pictures with our kid. You know, we took like pictures like holding the baby, like his baptism. It's pretty nice because, you know, it was like family pictures we took. So really nice. So the kid has all these memories and stuff. And then I'm going to give that kid my citizenship so he can live a better life, even though she lives a good life anyways in Hong Kong, but, you know, has the American passport. Philippines, there's no hope there. It's like, I know why, if you're in Philippines, why you want an American guy, because I went there. It's a really bad country. No offense, but it's like, oh my God, it is the worst country I've ever been to. Like, when I was walking on the, like, I don't know what it was, the slums, it was like right near the ports. The houses were like makeshift houses. I'm like, God, I was like thinking, like, God, these can like fall down any second. Like, the kids are walking the streets, they're dirty. It's really bad. Like, I mean, I don't think I can ever go back there again. I mean, maybe when I'm like really, really old, but like, it is not a good country. It is, people say they go there because it's cheap, but, it's not worth it. It's polluted. It's hot. It's noisy. I mean, I stayed in a penthouse and it was so noisy. It was so hard to sleep in some of these places because it's just like, they don't build the places up to American standards, like first world country standards. So like they don't insulate the sound very well. So like they have these motorcycles. I'm on the 15, I think I stayed on the 59th floor and I could still hear the motorcycle from down below. I don't know, like 59th floor, and you can hear these motorcycles really loud, and it's just difficult to sleep, and it's hot, it's humid. I mean, yeah, Thailand, Singapore, Vietnam, Shanghai, China, these weren't really the best places that I've been to. They were on the bottom. Now, Japan is great. I highly recommend Japan. That's a good, great first world country, safe, nice. Australia is great. I'll be going back to Japan, Kyoto next year to get some girls pregnant. So I got a lot of plans coming up, man. And in the future, yeah, we just got to, did we cover everything? Is there anything we're missing?
We covered it all. We're talking about that fight, which we're going to keep our eye on for any new information on that. Cause I would go, like I would make a trip to Vegas. I would want to see.
Are you in Orlando? Oh, wait, you're in Orlando, right?
Yeah, I'm in Orlando, but yeah,
I'm going to be going there. I'm going to be going to Orlando in January, February to meet one of my kids. And I have like 3 kids in Orlando, and going there to give a girl a second baby. So maybe I'll meet up with you. Maybe I'll see you when you do an in-person interview, or go to Disneyland or something, or Disney World. Yeah, You go there all the time, right?
They go every day.
They go, the baby mamas go there every day with my kid. You've probably seen them.
I'm there a lot. I'm there more than I'm at home. I'm always at
Disney. So. Well, then you probably have actually seen them, because they're there like almost every day at Disneyland. And I was going to go there, or Disney World or Magic, whatever you call it. But I'm going to go there. And I think I'm going to go like 3 days, get the girl pregnant for a second kid. They really want a second baby by me. They keep asking me, like they've been waiting like a year. Like, hey, Kyle, can you come back and give a second baby? I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go visit America. I think 7 weeks. I got a changeable ticket, but it looks like I'm only going to be back in America for 7 weeks. Come back to Europe. And then I'm going to stay in Europe for like a while. You've got some stuff, got a lot of stuff going on. And then I'm probably going to go to like Dubai, Japan, I was going to go to Australia again this year, but I couldn't make it. So maybe in a few years, I go back to Australia. And got a few other countries. Brazil's also, I think, in 2027, I'm going to go to Brazil. A lot of countries lined up. I actually have a list of all places I want to visit. So, but like I said, the most important thing right now, got to find myself a wifey, sexy wifey that will accept me. So, you know, like I said, we got to push it out there. And I feel like TLC has a duty at this point to help me.
I mean, yeah, you brought them a lot of viewers,
viewership.
So it would only be fair for them to
at least
do a little something where they can film you meeting some ladies and see what happens.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Not, of course, yeah.
You're not asking for your own show. You're just, you know, just let them give you a little time to meet some women, maybe do like a speed dating thing or something and just and find some people for you. I definitely
think what they did with Tyree. I think that was like the situation with Tyree on Single Life. Like, I felt like that was a good situation for him. I felt like that was very positive. Like, I would do that. Did he do, I think he did speed dating. I don't remember.
He did. He went to New Orleans. He did speed dating. Yeah, they dedicated a whole season for him to come back from that situation. So,
yeah,
I feel like...
You should
have a chance, right? I mean, why not?
Yeah. Give me a chance. Give me one chance just to get a wife, you know? Hopefully we could do it in Europe or London, you know? But, you know, if I had to do it in Los Angeles, because I'm going to be there anyways, you know, when they're doing a whole season or whatever, they're doing a season, you know, obviously... we don't know what the future holds, but, you know, I know a lot of my castmates are being talked to about Single Life and some other shows coming up. So, God, I'm just so excited for the future. I'm so glad I went on the show. Sometimes I think to myself, was it even worth it going on? But then I'm like, you know, I think it was worth it. Well, it was worth it because I have a baby on the way from Sweden, Swedish baby. So it was worth it specifically because of that one baby. If I didn't get that one baby, I mean, maybe I probably wouldn't have cared. So one baby.
You've opened up yourself to a lot of people who would have never known about you, right? I feel like if you wouldn't have went on the show, I might not have heard your story. So I'm glad you went on.
You would have heard my story eventually. I think eventually you would have heard of me, more than likely. You would have on Netflix.
It's good that you did it though, because I think that the show is really opening up to different types of people, different types of relationships, different types of lifestyles. And I think yours was one of the groundbreaking ones where it shook everything up, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody.
And before we go, I noticed people were talking about how my hair was thinning and stuff. A lot of people were commenting about my hair. Well, you know, it's actually not like thinning. Just the show, it's not actually like thinning, just right here a little bit. But no, my hair isn't really like thinning. I actually started using rosemary oil, doing scalp massages. But it's really just right here. People are saying, oh my God, his hair is thinning, this and that. They're all analyzing, but it's really just like right here, but it's always been like this my whole life. So no, people, my hair isn't like really thinning, maybe a little bit, but not really. So if people are saying, well, receding,
well,
thinning,
it
not
looks,
really.
You got more hair than I do. You got more hair than I do. So.
Yeah, they're just, it's just, but yeah, man, I think we got everything covered. I mean, unless there's anything else we didn't cover, I think we pretty much got it all good.
Yeah, I think we're good. Thank you so much for coming on. We were talking about this like for a year, but we had to wait until the time was right.
6 months. No.
It was six months. Oh,
seven,
so 6 months.
Eight months. Maybe 8 months. Maybe 7 or 8 months. I think it was
eight months. Yeah, because we were talking while you were still on the show about having you on. And we had to wait until it was permitted. I'm glad you came on. There was a million questions that I wanted to ask you. So I'm glad that we had the time so we could talk about it. And again, we need to see you somewhere else doing something, telling your story. I don't know, on TV, a documentary.
You will.
Somewhere. So we're going to keep our eyes peeled. And I'm keeping my eyes peeled for this fight in Vegas and seeing, you know, if you guys can recruit some more cast members, you can get this going. I feel like you could sell tickets. You get the right people on.
We're going to try. I'm going to talk to Lauren and Scott and like others and see what we can do. But I'm hoping we're going to make this thing happen. We are going to freaking...
Yeah. Follow through, because I remember Tom Brooks, he was talking about this a while back, but it never happened. I want this to happen for real. So I really
He's in
want
Vegas. To... Tom's in Vegas.
Yeah, Tom is in Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. We can make it happen. I want to talk to them. I see Scotty. Maybe I'll message him and have Lauren. But I mean, like I said, to make it really happen, we need probably some help from KLC Sharp or somebody that can really set up.
In Vegas, there's a lot of promoters that would be very open to helping you guys promote an event. Vegas is an amazing place to put on an event. There's a lot of people that know a lot of people who can get the
event. Yeah.
Sharp would be the best because TV is, there's no better promotion than TV, right? There's no.
Sharp could do it. They could do it. They have millions of dollars. They're owned by Sony. Actually, technically, Sharp is owned by Sony. So technically, they have billions of dollars. So they can make it happen.
All right, guys. Thank you to Kyle Gordy for being here. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. Y'all know him as the sperm donor. Oh, give your Instagram one more time.
If you guys want to follow me, my Instagram is KyleGordy1234.
KyleGordy at 1234. All right, guys. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. Thank you for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful evening. We'll talk to you really soon. Bye, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye.